Today's a whole bunch of news for me. First time I've been tied down to something like this. I usually have a mic I can rove around, and so I can, doesn't matter where I go. The other one is I didn't get to wear off some of my energy playing guitar and singing first. I feel sorry for you guys. Music is very important to me. Words of songs are very important to me. And often hearing the words is more important than the music that goes with them. And there's a song that comes to my heart, runs through my head when I'm unsettled in my spirit. Song goes, "Where do I go from here? What fate is drawing near? Touch my heart and guide my lips in prayer. Through the grace of God alone, I'll cast aside these fears I've known and lift myself from the depths of deep despair. Lead me through the darkness and through each stormy day. Take my hand, O precious Lord, and help me find your way. Give me strength that I might find abiding faith and peace of mind, and I won't ask, where do I go from here?" You guys may wonder why I'm going to address us as a church. Because I don't attend Mountain View Evangelical Church. But in September 1976, when I gave my life to Christ, I became a member of his church. And when part of your church hurts, y'all hurt. I had some dental surgery here a couple of years ago. The dentist wouldn't pull a wisdom tooth because the root was too close to the nerve, and if he damaged my nerve, I could sue him. So he sent me to a dental surgeon who I couldn't sue. I told him I'd rather have him do it where he'd be a little more careful because I could sue him. Anyway, they damaged the nerve, and I constantly have pain in my mouth. Oftentimes, I can't even touch my teeth together, and I have headaches. And I have to be careful how I step out of my truck that I don't land too hard, or because my whole body aches. When one member hurts, we all hurt. We're at a crossroads. Our pastor has left, and we ask, where do we go from here? Before you can figure out where you're going, you have to figure out where you are and why you're there. I remember when I first moved into this neighborhood and moved into west of Carstairs back in, I'm not sure if it was late 77 or before Christmas 77. But my daughter was born on October 29th, 1978. And the day she came out of the hospital, we had attended our first church service here in the Carstairs-Stidsbury area. We'd gone to the church that the welcome wagon hostess had invited us to. We spent 10 years there before we moved west out to Bottrell Country. And at that time, this church was a happening place. I can remember coming here for events. This was still the entrance back then. In fact, I mentioned one time many years ago, I hung a ceiling fan in this when I was working for Dual Electric. And this was still the entrance, and we put the switch beside the door. How did we get here? Where are we? There's the question of, was Mountain View Evangelical Church just a spark that started a fire, but it wasn't the place for the fire? I think of the words of John the Baptist when he said, "He must increase, I must decrease." And I wonder if John the Baptist knew at that time that when he said those words, he was preventing something that happened later on in the church when people were saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter." And I wonder if John the Baptist knew at that time that he must not only decrease, he must disappear. Another question that we have to ask ourselves Are we just a sign of the times? I have this lull loader, and it's built in 73, and it's got a Funk Reversomatic hydraulic transmission on it, and it just screams. And I was using it for loading bales. And I can remember one Sunday afternoon, I was sitting in my house, and my ears were still ringing from this thing, so I got on the internet and started looking for electronic Bluetooth-enabled hearing protection so I could answer my phone while I was working. And lately, one side of it doesn't work. I only have volume in one ear. So I was trying to find an electronics repair shop. And so I got on Google, and electronics repair shops near Olds, and first thing that shows up is Brick. They have, you know, across the top of your screen, they have all these advertisements. And they're advertising this 88-inch TV. It's a smart TV, and it has all sorts of other letters behind the name of it, which I don't have any idea what it means. And you can have this for a mere $39,999. And I forget if it was 95 cents or 99 cents, but I'm sure they wouldn't argue with you if you're willing to pay it. Bigger is better in TVs, in our houses, in our shopping centers, and in our churches. And are we a victim of bigger is better? Did we miss an opportunity one time to expand when we could have? Or were we just the spark? There's another sign of the times that is happening too. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3 says, in the end times there's going to be a falling away. Some translations you call it a rebellion, and others call it an apostasy. And when you tie them all together, it means that people are going to be, it's going to be fashionable to deny God and to belittle him. And are we a victim of that? But in all of these things, there's still one question that remains. Are we still fulfilling the commission that was given to us, that we go into all the world, into our world, and make disciples? And you know, it really doesn't matter if our church is a revolving door where people come in and people go out, as long as when they go out, they're going somewhere in God's family. Unfortunately, I found the people I've run across here that have left aren't doing that. I questioned the one fella, and he says, well, you're right, it says we should gather together. I can do that in my own home. And when I asked him, if he was, he kind of hung his head and mumbled no. I've talked to others too that aren't. They won't give me their reason necessarily, but they're not. Now, I am known to be a little bit stubborn and on the rebellious side. In fact, that's one of the things that drew me to my wife. There was a dispute at church, and I went flying out of there, and she chased me down. How her little Datsun car ever caught my Jeep truck, I'll never know. But I saw this little white thing sticking on my bumper, and I stopped and got out and walked back to her car, and she said, 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is idolatry. There weren't very many people in those days that would tell me off, and I appreciated that. Or are we as a church falling away? I read in 1 Chronicles 13, when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem, and the rejoicing. Actually, it caused problem in his family. His wife got jealous. But that triumphant story started 80, 90, 100 years before. And what happened is that the nation of Israel had turned away from their God. The priests were, to use today's terms, they were disrespecting God. I hate that word, but it suits. They did things their own way, and they were living a life of fornication. They sinned by what they did with the offerings to God. And God withdrew his blessings from Israel. And whenever God withdrew his blessings from Israel, they lost in battle. And so in desperation, they figured that God would surely look after the Ark of the Covenant. If they took it with him, if they took it with them, he'd surely be there and protect it. Well, he did protect it. He didn't protect them. It was captured by the Philistines. They took it and put it in their house of their God, and next morning in the house of their God, their statue was laying on face down in front of the Ark of the Covenant. They set it back up, and the next day his head and his arms, wrists were come on missing. And their town was plagued with mice and now here we get into where I don't really find the proper terming. Some Bibles translate it tumors. Some translate it a word that I can't even pronounce, which if you follow it through its ancient French ancestry means they had hemorrhoids. And there are some that actually translated as piles. And it was killing them off. And so they wondered if this was from the God of Israel, because they knew about the God of Israel. They talked about him before the battle. They talked about how he brought his people out of Egypt, and how are they ever going to stand against this God. And so they decided, one of their priests came up with this test to see if it was God that was bringing it on. And after you stop and look at this test, I don't know why we ever talk about putting out a fleece. We should send out an ox cart. Because what they did, and here I feel sorry for anybody that hasn't grown up in the country, doesn't know animals. I feel sorry for people that live in the city and have only know the city, because they never won't understand verses like Malachi verse in chapter 3, where it talks about you shall go forth with joy, leaping like a calf from the stall. They've never seen that. I feel sorry for them. But this priest came up with this test, and he said, what you do is you take two cows who've just calved, and you lock their calves in a stall. Last Monday, I hauled cattle for a lady that got between a cow and her calf last spring, and in her words, she took a working over. And they hooked these two cows to a ox cart, and they'd never been hooked before. Right now, I know two people who are in hospital who are trying to domesticate domesticated animals. I was thinking last night, when I was living out in the Botchel country, one of our neighbors went out, and a cow was laying behind the barn and was having a little trouble calving, and he was just going to help her out, and he slipped the OB chains on and sat down and started pulling, and she got up, and somehow the chains got wrapped around his wrist and he almost died. And they hooked these two ox to this cart and they turned them loose. Where should they go? They should go to the corral where the barn where their calves are, but no, they headed off on the road to Israel. And they knew that what's coming was from God. And they had to send, the priest also sent them, told them to send a trespass offering, because they had disrespected the God of Israel by taking his ark. And the story goes on that King Saul, about 30 years after the ark returned to Israel, King Saul became king. And if you read through Saul's life, he wasn't too interested in serving God. He was more interested in himself. And he left the Ark of the Covenant where it arrived back in Israel. He never brought it to the tent of meeting where it belonged. And after he died, after 40 years, King David became king. And after he had established his throne, which took about 7.5 years, he decided to bring the Ark of the Covenant back home to where it belonged. But he didn't do it the way it was supposed to be done. It was just sort of like, let's go get it. You know, I'm on a Sunday afternoon. Let's throw it in the back of the truck and take it back with us. And they had it on an ox cart, and the ox cart stumbled, and somebody put out his hand to steady it. And God struck him dead. And King David not only was afraid, but he was upset that God hadn't honored his intent to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, to where it belonged, in the tent of meeting. But King David did things his own way then. He didn't do them God's way. And it cost the man his life. Chapter 13, when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back, he did it properly. The priests carried it like they were supposed to on special poles. And it was a joyful celebration of God's goodness. So if that is what's happened with us as a church, have we turned away from doing things God's way? Have we done things our own way? Have we let the world creep in and doing things the way the world has? That's a common in the church today. Probably in the last 3 months, when churches have been allowed to get back together and have their big annual meetings, I mean, their big conventions, there's at least three that I know of that have agreed by vote to do something that the Bible tells us is an abomination to God. But they still want to be called a Christian church. They still want to be referred to as God's church. But what they're doing is the same thing that David did. They're killing people spiritually. And when you kill people spiritually, you've killed them physically. There's a song that someone brought to us one time. I said songs are important to me. He said, here's a song I think you should sing. It starts off with a chorus, and it says, oh, the church is fast asleep, and I wonder who's to blame. When I call myself a Christian, do I take his name in vain? Somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ and is frustrated and wanders away muttering, oh, Jesus Christ, God damn it, is not using God's name in vain because he doesn't know God. It's us that know God and serve him and claim to be his. And yet, don't do things his way. There's another saying I read years ago. It says, the boat was made for the water, but God help us when the water gets into the boat. And that's something that's happening in churches. They have to fight it. The church I attend in Olds, whenever I get there, their denomination is struggling. I don't know why they're struggling, but there's one of the churches has decided to allow one of these groups that God has identified as an abomination to be part of their church and gain membership and voting rights. And it's been going on for 3-4 years. Why? We know what God has said. And what we do here and decide here in Mountain View Evangelical Church doesn't just affect those of us that attend here. It affects our children, our grandchildren. It affects our neighbors and their children and their grandchildren. Exodus 34, verse 7 says, the sins of the father are visited onto the children to the third and the fourth generation. And it's not because God's mean. It's because that's what we've taught our kids. There's another saying that what the parents do in moderation, the kids will do in excess. And I've seen that over and over in my life. And it's not, again, God is not causing the children to answer for their parents' sins. He said a long time ago that was not so. I would die for my sin and not my son die for my sin. But it's because this is what we've taught them and this is what they learned. And when we have they've never learned some of the restrictions that we learned. And so when we do some stuff, we might do it in moderation. But they have none of those restrictions placed upon them. There's another song a fella sings. It says, I don't need no fancy preaching, I don't need no fancy church. And that's true. But what we need is an honest dissemination of God's word. Dissemination means the spread, the proclaiming of. We need an honest dissemination of God's word, and we need fellowship with believers. God has told us that. We're not an island unless you're the last Christian standing. And then you're still not an island because God is with you. I'm going to repeat the last lines of that song I started with, or some of the lines of it. Touch my heart and guide my lips in prayer. Through the strength of God alone, I'll cast aside these fears I've known and lift myself from the depths of deep despair. Then I won't have to ask, where do I go from here? Then I will have peace within when I follow God's word. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you will lead us, that we will follow where you lead us. And when we follow, may we have peace of mind. We thank you. Amen.